Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Acts chapter 16, we're going to read verses 4 through 11. And Pastor John told me, just be you, Benny, just be you. That's dangerous for me to be me. And I was recently at one of your campuses, I think it was North, and I was just telling Dr. Matt / Pastor Matt / Business Matt / Sandwich Shop Matt, you don't know what I'm talking about, right? / whatever, right? I just call him / Matt because you just fill in the blank. And said he is amazing, by the way. So I was telling what God's been doing in my ministry, and he was like, whoa, bro, that's crazy. Can you do that here? I said, I don't know. We have to ask God. And so what happened is that, I don't know, this has been happening a lot, that God will just start giving me, like, times of night. Like I'll just start saying, hey, there's somebody here at 2:47 a.m. I see you, and I start describing this. He says, this is so amazing. Can you do it? I mean, it's like, bro, no, I can't really, like, just turn it on. I mean, we're going to ask God. And so sure enough, I'm getting ready to preach, and the Holy Spirit stops me, and he says, there's somebody here. And I said, I see 1:11 a.m., 1:11 a.m., 1:11 a.m. You were there. 1:11 a.m., and a lady up in the far corner, she's like, raised her hand. It's typical. It's always a first-time guest. And see, the crazy thing is they tell us that we can't do this kind of stuff. But C3 is telling the world, you can do this kind of stuff, right? You can grow the church with the power of God and the presence of God. Come on. And excellence, you can do that, right? So I give her this word, and she starts crying, and it was kind of a generic word, I thought. But what I didn't know is that Dr. Matt, he comes back to the green room as I'm back there, and it's like, come on, bro, I'm hungry, man. I got to go eat something, you know? I mean, I've worked. Don't take me to Taco Bell. Do something a little bit better. He goes, bro, you don't even know, Pastor, you won't even know. I said, what do you know? He goes, this lady, you don't even know the story. I said, tell me the story. He says she had transferred all of her assets, and she had written notes to all her loved ones, and she was driving out of San Diego to commit suicide. And she got a text message at 1:11 a.m. True story. From somebody that comes from C3 Church. Texts this lady and says, hey, you need to come to church. Come to the 11 o'clock service. We have this guy named Benny Perez, used to be a former Thunder Down Under guy. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. No. Serious. Where is that coming from? I don't even know. My wife's in the back. She goes, yeah, that's not true, you know. She married me for my humor. Now, listen. Here's the crazy thing is, she comes to the 11 o'clock service. That's a service that God says, 1:11 a.m. She has gotten saved. Then next week, her boyfriend got saved. And then Dr. Matt said she's been bringing people, and they've been getting saved. Come on, because somebody invited somebody. So I got to preach, but I got a few times. I have a few times. I was praying, and God gave me some times in the front row. And somebody's going to, their life's going to get rocked. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Acts chapter 16, verses 4 through 11. If you're there, say, I'm there. I know we got food waiting, but I'm going to do my best. Here we go. Verse 4, and as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached. Somebody gave me, devil, not today. Is that all you got, devil? Technology, you gotta love it. And as they went through there, they had delivered the messages that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. Next one. So the churches were what? In the what? And they what? In what? How often? It is God's will for this church to keep growing in faith and to grow in numbers. I prophesy that. I speak that. Get ready. It's about ready to go to a whole nother level. And they went through the region. Watch me. Help me now. And they went through the region of what? Exactly. Exactly. And where? Galatia. Now watch. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in age. Let me retranslate. Having God say no. Go next verse, please. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Let me retranslate that. God said no. So passing by Mysia, sometimes you got to pass by where you wanted to go to get to where God wants you to go. Don't help me. Don't make me preach this. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Why does it have to, like, go bright when I say in the night? Thank you. For real? I read in the night and the lights come up. Orale, God. Dude, I'm going to do a drive-by on you, man. I'm telling you. I'm going to cut you and you're going to bleed out. I know you don't understand that here, but it makes sense to the two Mexicans that are here. Watch me now. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Now watch this. This is important. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Sam. And the following day to Neapolis Pizza. Keep going. Right? Oh, that's it. Verse 11. I want to give you a series is going to be condensed, right? Because I preached this at my church and it went a little bit long, so I'm going to condense it for you. The title of the message is, there's a big title, The Gift of No. Subtitle is When God Says No. I'm going to flip it on you. I'm going to flip this on you, and I've never heard anybody preach this before. Most of my messages I preach, I rip them off. Full disclosure. You say, isn't it copyright? Yes, it's copyright. Your eyes are made to plagiarize. Come on, somebody, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, I know you university students. Hey, that's how you got that paper done. Listen. What happens when God gives you the gift of no? You see, we have made no a very negative and critical word in our culture. What do you mean you're telling me no? In fact, I believe that in a time in our world when people seem to be entitled to things, no matter what generation, there's a time that we need to get some no's in our life. That if we believe that God is good and that he is working all things out, listen, for our good, that we can begin to trust him in the circumstances we find ourselves in. I'm a parent. I have three kids, 18-year-old, 14-year-old, and 11-year-old. And if you're a good parent, you know that your life as a good parent has not been yes, 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 yes. In fact, I would actually submit to you that there's probably going to be 2/3 no and 1/3 yes. In fact, the more immature somebody is, the more no's they will get. And as you mature, it goes from no to more yeses. Right. No, but now you can't drive the car. You're only 11. No. Are you hearing me? And this has been burning my heart. And I was preaching a series in our church. And all of a sudden, this came out of my spirit. And it says, I was preaching how God is a good and God's a giver. And the Holy Ghost said, then tell the church this, that the greatest gift the Holy Spirit can give to anybody is the gift of no. Never heard it before. I begin to study scripture. I begin to see things. I begin to have my eyes enlightened to what this really meant for our church and even for my own life. And I begin to realize it's a bigger message than just Church LV. I think it's a message for the body of Christ. So here's what's happening is Paul now Let's do some exegesis. Let's hermeneutically get this correct, that Paul in Acts 16 is actually on his second missionary journey. He went on three. Now, I live in a very, very unchurched region, so I would say that Paul, he went on a tour. He went on a tour, like a concert tour. And so he was touring with his big old, come on, buses. Amen. He had his roadies with him, right, which is only about two people. And so what happened, Paul would go to different cities that they didn't know about Jesus and preach to them about Jesus. Then he would establish local churches, and he did that on the first missionary journey. And now he is coming on a second missionary journey to strengthen those churches, but also now to go to new places and spaces. So here's where we pick it up. But it's interesting, we read in verse 4 in chapter 16, he said that we were going to give these decrees, these ordinances to these churches. Well, what is that? Well, we know that in Acts chapter 15, verses 28 through 29, it is known as the Council of Jerusalem. This is where there was heavy conflict in the church. So don't stress out if there's conflict in church. Conflict is part of life. In fact, if you want to have a real good relationship, you got to go through some conflict, right? Because you can't have intimacy and transparency unless you let people in enough that there's going to be some conflict in your life. See, we run away from conflict, we should run towards conflict. Because I value you enough to work the relationship out, right? And so what happens is that now so many unbelievers are being saved that are not Jewish, that now the Jewish believers are saying, hey, wait a second, if these guys are getting saved, they have to now observe the law of Moses. They have to now get circumcised. Now, if you're like a 48-year-old Gentile man who comes to Jesus, and now you got to get circumcised, I'm out of here. That's it. No, you're not touching. No, you can't touch this. Are you hearing me? Like, for reals? I mean, come on. Like they start arguing about this law of Moses. So they go back and forth. Paul is standing up to Peter. I mean, it's getting intense. And so James the elder, the brother of Jesus, hears the argument. And I'm bypassing the whole chapter because I don't got time. And so what happens, he says, let's pray. And they pray. And he says this, the scripture says, it felt good to us and the Holy Ghost. Whatever happened to that kind of stuff? We need to get back to, yeah, let's talk it out. Yeah, let's have strategy. Let's have structure. But we need to get the Holy Ghost in here. We need to get the Holy Spirit in here. So what happens is they come to this consensus. It's interesting that basically the elders were saying, no, they don't have to follow the law of Moses. God gave them a gift of no. And if you were an uncircumcised guy coming into the church, you'd be shouting, praise the Lord. So what do they do? Well, they begin now to tell them something very, very simple. They said, well, what you're going to do now, Paul, as you go to the churches, you're going to tell them this. Don't eat meat offered to idols, right? They said, number two, don't drink the blood. Don't strangle an animal. And abstain from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these things, you will do well. That is not for salvation. That is that your life will go well. Right? So you understand now. Now let me define what sexual immorality is, because in Vegas, some people don't know. Just saying. So let me define that for you very simply. Sexual immorality is you're having sex with somebody you're not married to. The same response I had in Vegas. Very quiet. The flip side of that is you should be having lots of sex with the person you're married to. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Come on, you owe me on that one right there, man. I tell you. So Paul now goes, and as he's going, the Bible says in verses 6 and 7 of Acts 16. Here's what it says. You're going to throw it up on the screen for me when you can. Acts chapter 16, because I don't want to go to the Bible in case. And when they went through the region of whatever in Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said no to them going to someplace new. They wanted to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit said no. They wanted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus said no. Now, here is a question, and I have skipped this over so many times, and I realize we need to talk about some stuff in church. How does the Holy Spirit say no? Because you don't know. We take it for granted as church leaders that people know. How do the Holy Spirit says no? Number one, the main way the Holy Spirit says no is through the written word of God. That's why you need to get into the word. The word directs our lives. Can I get a big amen right now? If it's in the word and it tells you what you like I want to do some drive-bys on people in my city right now. I mean, I got some people that are just ticking me off. And I'm being honest with you. I'm just going to bare my soul to you. This is my family here. Is that I want to put the hurt on somebody. Then I look at my body and I said, I can't. I don't have the ability to do it. No, seriously. And when I read the scripture, I said, I want to get even with my enemies. But the Bible says you don't do that. Bible says, no, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Bless those that say, oh. See, the Bible will tell you, no, revenge is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. So the scripture is very clear when God says no to a lot of things. How else does the Holy Spirit say no? Write this down. Number two, he says no through leadership. It's going to get real quiet. He says no through your parents, no through your employers, no through your church leaders, your pastors. I don't even know. Connect group leaders. See, you are a dangerous person if the only voice you listen to is yourself. I try this section over here. You're getting me mad. You know, you're a dangerous person if the only one you listen to, come on, is yourself. Because you know what? You get yourself in trouble. You blame everybody else. Well, then I blame everybody else. No, I blame everybody. No. You got to live with you. No, are you hearing me? He speaks through leadership. You know how many times my mom said no to the girls I was bringing home? No, you know how many times the pastor told me no? Well, I'm anointed. Don't you know I'm anointed, Pastor? Do you know I just wave my hand and 40 people fall out? Don't you know, Pastor, I get times at night? I'm anointed. You know what my pastor told me? If you're anointed for the platform, you're anointed to serve. Set up chairs. Clean up the church. He speaks through leadership. Okay, number three, he speaks through the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been doing something the Holy Ghost says you're going in the wrong direction? you shouldn't be doing this. You're going the wrong way. Hey, Perez, you're going the wrong way. It's the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, the Holy Spirit says no through circumstances. He'll shut doors. He'll say no to you. They were told no to two good things. Now, ready? I'm going to drop this on you. God does not say no because something is bad. It just may not be the best. I got to say that again. Because I actually thought that God said no because something was bad. But how good is our God that he says, oh, no, it's not even bad, it's not the best. Because how many believe God wants the best for your life? So as I begin to look at this, God says no for a moment, and other times he says no for a lifetime. Because when we study the scripture, we know that Paul actually went and preached in Asia according to Acts chapter 19, verse 10. But it wasn't the time for him to preach in Asia in Acts chapter 16. Now, I don't know why. Maybe they weren't ready for that moment. Maybe the people were not ready to receive. Maybe there was danger in that area. But here's what it comes down to. Listen to me. Here's what it comes down to. Everything about the kingdom is about timing and trust. It's all about timing and trust. Can we trust God's timing? Come on, over our timing. We think we may be ready. Is it God's right timing? But God knows best. It's timing and trust. Everything, listen to me, is timing and trust. Everything in the kingdom. Because watch, you could ruin the right thing by having it in the wrong time. And the wrong time could ruin the right thing. Are you hearing me? That's why sex outside of marriage, sex is the right thing, but if you're not married, it's the wrong time. And the wrong time, come on, can ruin the right thing. Are you hearing me? So if you view God's no in a certain way, God, I trust your timing. I trust you. It's all about trust and timing. Come on, in the kingdom of God. And most of the time, God is a crock pot, not a microwave. Try cooking food in a microwave. It doesn't taste as good as a crock pot. Where I grew up, we used to buy the cuts of meat called chuck steak. Chuck steak, you didn't have to beat that thing for an hour. 3 hours, just beat that thing. Like with the wooden mallet, you just. Or you take a cheap piece of meat and throw it in a microwave for like 10 hours. I mean, a crock pot for 10 hours. I mean, and it's like, man, it falls apart. You see, because there's something about trusting God's timing. See, no, it's not because something is bad. It just might be the very best. So when you begin to realize this, because something began to happen, because God is seeing something greater than what you see. Because watch, what God does is he works through trust and faith. Without trusting my life in God's hands, I'm ruled by what I see and I understand. And now I live a limited life based upon what I see and what I understand. And some of us are living small lives because, well, I don't get it, I don't see it, I don't understand it. And how small you are that you're living your life by just what you see and what you understand. I want to trust a God who can do infinitely more, exceedingly more than I could think or even imagine according to the power, come on, that works within me. Come on, give God a 5-second praise break right now, a big old... Entering into God's ways is always predicated upon trusting his promises and believing in his timing. So what happens? I'm coming to a close for the sake of time because there's like food out there. God always sees something better. Acts chapter 16, verses 9 through 10. Put it up on the screen. Acts chapter 16, verses 9 and 10. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there and urging him, come over and help us in Macedonia. Watch this. God speaks in a vision. Why is that? Watch. Oh, God, help me. Paul had to get two no's to get him into the right place so he can get the right vision to do the right thing. Come on, in his life. Could it be that the no's you are getting, it's because God is setting you up to get, come on somebody, in the right place. Come on, to get the right vision, to do the right thing. Come on, in your life. As the gang, aka worship leaders, come up and band, we originally moved to Las Vegas, Nevada because of my traveling ministry. When I left Marysville back in 1999, I personally have been to Australia 48 times. It's my second country. I could actually apply for citizenship, I think. I've been there so much. I've been to New Zealand probably at least 15, 16 times, maybe more. And I remember I was traveling, and we were living in Seattle, and it's just not a good place to travel from. When I was traveling full-time, I was speaking over 350 times a year. Yes, these are real numbers. I'm not inflating it. This is real. I preached 7 to 10 times a week, 44 weeks to 48 weeks a year. Well, Pastor Benny, that sounds like more than 350. I'm being conservative, and I'm being honest. I'm traveling all over the world. God's breaking out in signs and wonders, revival. It's amazing. It's awesome. God's doing some great things. And I remember I felt like God was going to move us. And it's so funny that Pastor Troy is here because the one place I wanted to move to was actually Charlotte. I said, man, we're going to go to Charlotte. I love Charlotte. I love that area. I preached in that area. I preached in the surrounding areas. I love North Carolina, South Carolina. I love Virginia. I mean, I'm a guy from East L.A., but I love the South. Go figure. And God said no. And like, for real? Wow. Now look what God is doing with Troy in that city. I always joke with Wendy. I said, look what God's doing with Troy and other pastors in that city. We were the first choice, but you said no, Wendy. You know what's so funny? Then I said, okay, God, I want to go to Boise, Idaho. I love Boise. God said no. And I said, okay. Okay, God, what is it? And I go, I know, God, I want to go to La Jolla. This is true story. It's true story. Now, if you're not from Southern California, you're white, but you're not from Southern California, you say La Jolla. It's true. All these white people. And I'm married to a white woman, so I'm not being racist. I'm just telling you right now. And she's really white, like night bright, like. When you want to go to sleep, you're lighting up the room. Cover yourself white, you know. It's like, I see you, Wendy. You can't hide. You know, it's just. Laugh. That's funny. God said no. Never forget the day that I was on a 3-day fast. I still believe in prayer and fasting. Don't let the skinny jeans fool you. Holy Spirit, after 3 days, says, I want you to go to Las Vegas. I got a ticket, and me and Wendy flew down to Las Vegas. We started driving. We went up to a place called Henderson, Seven Hills. We were going to drive through the area, and we began to drive, and we just went into this development, and this development was booming, and there was these 3-model homes, and I went in there, and there was the sales guy. His name was Guy. That was really his name. He was about 70-some years old, crotchety old man, just like bitter old man. It's like, dude. I said, hey, man, can we? Oh, all the homes are taken. There's a 200 people on the waiting list. And I said, bro, easy, man. I just want to see my wife's a designer. Can we just see it? Sure, you can go ahead. Who cares? You can't even get a home here anyway or something like that. And I said, all right. So we went through, and some of you have heard the story, and we come back out, and I said, hey, thank you, Guy. He goes, hey, what house did you like? I said, why? There's 200 people on the waiting list, and I can't even. He goes, I know you're wrong. I know I was wrong. I know, yeah, you were. Okay, Lord, I won't get too bad. I said, yeah. He goes, what house would you like? God said, no to Boise, no to Charlotte, no to La Jolla. He said, yes to Las Vegas. I said, I would like this house on a cul-de-sac with the optional loft overlooking the Las Vegas Strip. He said, when you were in the model homes, the house you just described just fell through with the buyer. I should call the first, and I even feel the Holy Ghost right now. He said, I should call the first person on the list, but you're here. But you're here. Are you hearing me? But you're here. But you're here. Come on, are you hearing? But you're here. You're not here by accident. You're not a C3 by accident. You're not in San Diego by accident. But you're here. Clap like you got some energy and some life, because listen. Sit down. You're scaring the Baptists that are here. Listen. I love you. Yes. Amen. I tell the story because we drove up to that property, 2941 Riotini Court, Henderson, Nevada, 89052. He gave us hard hats, and God is my witness. As soon as me and Wendy, Pastor Leanne, as soon as me and Wendy, we put our feet on that property, we both begin to weep and cry. See, Boise wasn't bad. Charlotte wasn't bad. It wasn't the best. That's where God would start a church of 27 people that has grown to 4,853 people for the glory of God. I feel something. I feel something. That's where God began to speak. Here's a crazy thing. I know I get a. And but do you understand this, that Paul, he wanted to go to Asia, nothing wrong with it. He wanted to go to Bithynia, nothing wrong with it. But we got to read the text right. God said no. And instead of Paul getting bitter and angry and mad, well, God, you know what? This is my second journey. You know what I've been through. You know, remember? He said, no, God, you know what's best. Are you hearing me? Listen, I'm ministering to somebody right now because I could pick about three of you out right now, prophesy over you. Listen, because this gets so powerful, because here's what happens. Excuse me if I get emotional, because this is part of my life. When Paul gets to the right place, after two no's, he gets a vision from a man from Macedonia saying, come help us. Paul had to get two no's to position him in the right place to get the right vision to help more people. Now, this is so powerful, because you need to hear what this says. What it says, this. If we had time to read the whole text, it says that, so we went to Philippi, the major city in Macedonia, the same letter that was written to the Philippians was in Philippi. Now, here's what happens. When Paul gets there, there's a woman named Lydia who's very wealthy and influential in the city. And now she gets radically saved, Pastor Leanne. And church history will tell us that she was a pillar in that church and bankrolled the church in Philippians, because there was a guy that got two no's to get in the right place, to get the right vision, to come to a place called Philippi, so a woman could now receive the purpose of her wealth. Oh no, it gets even better than that. Sit down. Because when you read the text, it says when they get to Philippi, are you tracking with me? Lydia gets saved. She gets baptized. Her family gets saved. And then there's a young woman who's being human trafficked. Human trafficking is not new. It's in the Bible. She was being trafficked by men, and they were using her, exploiting her for their own benefit. Paul now turns around, and now this young woman gets delivered. She gets freed up from human trafficking. Why? Because the Holy Spirit said, no, I'm going to get you to the right place to get the right vision. You're going to hear this man say, come over to Macedonia. I'm going to send you to Philippi, and you're going to see a lady named Lydia, and her wealth is going to be used for the right reason. And another young lady, watch, is going to be delivered from human trafficking. Oh, it gets even better than that. See, because the devil wants you, the devil wants you to focus on the nose. Paul never would have saw Lydia, the woman who was human trafficked. And then what happens? Watch. It says now they get thrown into prison in Philippi. And the Bible says that they begin to pray. And praise and worship. You've got preachers in here that can preach that better than me. And all of a sudden the prison doors open and the jailer is about to kill himself. You want to know why? A jailer actually lived in the jail. He would very rarely leave that area. He would not actually come to a church because he lived there. That was his responsibility. And so, watch me, he couldn't go outside the church, so God had to bring the church inside to him. Are you following me with this? So good. This is so good. Benny, you're preaching so good. I know. This is so good. It's called Encourage Yourself in the Lord. It's my fifth time preaching this weekend. I should keep going. Amen. This is the crazy thing. He gets saved, and he says these words. We've heard this throughout church history. That him and all his household got saved.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.